still coughing, still here. Matt McNeil, The Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Brett here. Did you get this thing at all? This cold with the cough thing?
I did not know.
It is magical. It is absolutely magical. Good to be with you today. We're going to get to Stein a little bit later on. As a matter of fact, you ready to buckle up? Johnny UNI and I are going to break down the Gopher UNI women's basketball NIT first round game coming up here Friday.
Ah.
He's ready to go with information on this game.
Who does he think is going to win?
Oh, you know that. He's a homer. You know, he's UNI. I will say this about Whalen and the sports. When you get superstars that take over teams, I think the hardest part for the superstar is to learn how to lose. Because a lot of times I think the mentality is that all you have to do is go just score. Just score. There's a reason why Steve Kerr is such a great coach. He was never the leader, you know, the guy that you put the ball in the hand for the last second shot. He was always one of those team guys. And everything he learned about being a team player, he's taken and he's now made the Golden State Warriors the best team. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think that's the hardest thing. If she can learn how to relate to the losing, which is not easy for superstars, that's not an easy thing for them to do. If she can do that, well, I think she'll do just fine. Speaking of sports, world's top-ranked bridge player receives a one-year ban for doping. Bridge player. Doping.
What kind of doping? Would this be like taking those Alex Jones like brain strength things?
Well, I don't think that there's anything valid to that. I just is like he holding the cards with like massive hand and arm. When the top-ranked bridge player tested positive for a steroid that Lance Armstrong also used to cheat at the Tour de France, apparently he's juicing in cards. The card game recognized as a sport, the International Olympic Committee, basically this is a crime. You know, it's the fact that bridge is actually a recognized sport, and so henceforth, juicing is juicing. And without zero doubt, I mean, I highly doubt this guy is juicing to help his bridge game in any capacity. He's probably doing it because he's, I'm going to guess, middle-aged, trying to appeal to the ladies. And so he's, you know, trying to, hey, look at me. I'm 40 years old. Get my Michelob Light. Pardon me while I wear my spandex down, just walking around town like I just got done with a bike. One of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
But still, you juiced in bridge. So, I mean, at this point, you can forget about any kind of coolness and, you know, factor and anything. Juicing is bad, but at this point, juicing in bridge, it's like juicing in checkers. We had a disqualification in the international chess meet. Why? Well, he was juicing. That's just, how do you?
So this was actually to physically help him, not mentally. That's what I was originally thinking. Maybe he took some illegal substance to boost his attention, or I don't know.
You and I have both seen all these guys that have been juiced, right? Jose Canseco, yeah. Barry Bonds. Has any of them come across as real brain trusts at this point? Mark McGwire is not exactly impressing me with his worldly knowledge, right? I don't think unless you're actually like holding up a bridge, you know, I don't think that this is going to help. This is, like I said, I think this is probably for his own. It's got to be. There can't be any.
Maybe he's going to threaten to beat up his opponent if he loses.
I mean, really, if you are weak enough where you can't hold up cards, maybe you know, competitive bridge is not the place to start. You know, competitive paint drying, maybe. Watching walls. The other story I saw this. Did you see we had a bear invasion in northern Minnesota?
We did, huh?
Well, apparently they're telling the kids not to walk to the school bus.
Oh, wow.
Because there's bears all over northern Minnesota right now.
Could this be the same bear that took your cell phone a few years ago?
No, it wasn't that bear. And that bear was down here.
Oh, okay.
Noel, where was – where? That was up – no, that was in Orr. That was in Orr by the cook, by the nature preserve up there. No, this is over on the other side.
Okay.
All right. This is apparent, and my guess would be is the Bears are coming out of the Canada because, you know, this the snow and the winter has been rough. So they smell some of that, you know, side ranch dipping sauce. So they're coming, you know, in hordes across the U.S. border. But they're now telling, is it Sandstone? Sandstone, yeah. They're saying do not allow your kids to walk to school in this district because they're afraid the Bears will get them. Note to, you know, when people put out that meme about the air hurts my face. Why do I live someplace where the air hurts my face? You know that cold air thing? I get so tired of that. You know why you live here? Because there's not many things that would eat you here, okay? As a matter of fact, we're far enough south, we're away from the Bears, all right? And there's not many wolves in the area here. And we're not living someplace where there's gators and snakes and spiders the size of a hubcap. I'm good. You know what? Yep, air. I walk outside when that air hurts my face. That's a reminder. I don't live someplace where something's going to eat me. Something's going to crawl out of the storm drain, wrap itself around my leg, and drag me screaming while a bunch of idiots grab their cell phones and film me being dragged underground. That's why I'm happy here. That's it. You see, it works great. Did you try to help the individual? No. Why not? Video. All right. 952. See, this is how it works. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. The Republicans are at it again. Okay. Let's talk about Republican education policy. Because Republican education policy is a lottery. It's a you know, Powerball sort of mentality towards victory. They look at a bad school and they have no intention of helping all the kids in that bad school. They only want to help a certain amount of those kids. And their goal, their game plan falls into two different specific character, you know, paths, avenues. The first one is to try to give as much public school dollars as they can to private schools for tuition. And time and time again, this is the voucher programs that they put out there. Time and time again, they all scream the same thing. This will be for lower and middle class kids. But of course, the final bill doesn't have specific parameters about that. And usually in one or two states, they've written the financial guidelines so vaguely that pretty much a millionaire could fall within the category. Henceforth, taxpayers, middle and lower class taxpayers, are paying for wealthy kids to go to a private school. That's what we're doing. The rest of the kids that generally get these scholarships generally can either throw a football, bounce a basketball, shoot a hockey puck, or are the one or two really smart kids, and that's it. The vast majority of kids in any faltering school do not have a chance at that voucher money. They just do not. The other avenue, that's just a direct taking of taxpayer money and giving it to a wealthy school, usually an alma mater, of one of the politicians. The other way is charter schools, to basically peel off a layer of the public taxpayer dollar, give it to a private company who's running education for a profit. And once again, there is no way in the world that you can put profit first. And they all scream, we don't put profit first. Well, you're in a for-profit education system. Yes, your profit is number one for you guys. End of story, end of discussion. It is. And so they try to take the money and put it into a private company, a charter school that is, you know, there to, you know, make money at the end of the day. And they don't care. I mean, as a matter of fact, if you look at charter schools overall, charter schools perform far worse than public schools do. But you know who makes out like a bandit? People like the DeVos family, who basically run a bunch of charter schools who can make a ton of money off these things. Education under the Republican system is so flawed because at the end of the day, their entire education plan is only for about 15 to 20% at max of any given school district. And the other 80 to 85% of the kids in a public school district that are left behind with one-tenth of the money, far worse conditions, far less quality of education, and basically a bunch of Republicans screaming at them about, you're a failing school. Not because the school is bad per se overall, it's but because they basically have pulled every bit of funding away from that school they possibly can. This is the evilness of Republican education policy. It's not about educating kids. It's about taking public tax dollars and giving it to private companies. And at the end of the day, this is yet another thing that we should have never allowed for profit to ever enter into. Don't get me wrong. If someone wants to do a private school, that's fine. No vouchers allowed. And my personal feeling is that the private school system should operate outside of the public school system. That, you know, even in stuff like hockey games, that there shouldn't be any cross-reference. That if a private school wants to play hockey, that's great. They play against the other private schools in the state. That's they run their own for-profit system. That's theirs. And the public school system is a public school system for not-for-profit. But the Republicans, they just can't help themselves. Because they have sold tons of people on the lottery system. That if you can basically get one of those golden tickets, then you will be able to – we'll open roll you into St. Thomas Academy or into Hill Murray or into any of these other private – Breck, Blake, you know, Totino Grace. We'll get you into one of these private schools. You will be away from the godforsaken public school. You'll be in a private school. If you get one of the golden tickets, you'll be there. Reality is the system's already fixed to where you won't get one of the golden tickets. And this is nothing against private school. My wife and I actually thought about private Catholic school for our kids. We really did. And at the end of the day, we decided we would rather have our kids have a more realistic upbringing through a public school system as it goes to the private school system. And I mean, that just came from me where when I was going to school in the 80s in Edina, one of the things that school district did a very poor job of is preparing me for the real world and the people that you would meet in the real world. I did not want, you know, my kids to basically be in a world where it's only representative of, you know, 2 to 3% of the population. And so far, we've been as happy as little clams. We love the fact that our kids are there, and that's great. But, and, you know, Republican education is once again, it's about taking the public taxpayer dollars and giving it to private businesses. And at the end of the day, they do not care about educating kids. As a matter of fact, their ultimate goal, if they can get away with it, is to make the public school system so bad that when a kid turns 3, they put a mop in their hand and say, here's your real education. And you get that kid in servitude in a minimum wage job for the next 80 years of their lives. And that's what they think is quality. That's what they are. This is not about making education better. It's about basically, you know, screwing over everyone else. I'll talk a little bit more. We'll take a break right now. When I come on back, we'll talk a little bit more in regards to the current plan, because good news, Tim Walz has already said this is a no-go, which is good. But the Senate Republicans, this is where they're going to push. And yeah, push it off the cliff. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Because we can't sleep
if I don't feel your arms wrapped around. Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years' experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. March is Auto Show Month at Rudy Luther. This means throughout the month, they'll have great auto show deals on all new Toyotas. My first Toyota love was the RAV4, and it's completely redesigned for 2019, and the new RAV4 Hybrid will be here soon. Remember, buy a new Toyota and get a $250 gift card, trade in a vehicle on a new Toyota and get another $250 gift card. That means a total of $500 in savings. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley, and online at RudyLutherToyota.com.
The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl, CDs, and DVDs from now through April 7th and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit. That's 50% more to use on more music or gifts. So bring your LP, CDs, and DVDs to the Electric Fetus. They're located at 2000 4th Avenue South and open 9 to 9 weekdays, 9 to 8 on Saturdays, and 11 to 6 on Sundays. And please note the store is closed April 1st for inventory.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Let's get Gare Bear on in here. Gary is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime about in about schools. Hey, Gare.
Yeah, you know, I value my grade school education on 37th Street and 3rd Avenue. There was a grade school behind where Sabathia is now. That was Bryant Jr. And that's where I went through grade school. And we finally had to move out when I was going in the 8th grade from Bryant because of the 35W. But that was the best education I could get growing with people that were of a different race. And, you know, they redlined, I guess, in those days. So most of the black kids in the South Side, I think, went to my grade school. And it was a very good atmosphere there. And a lot of the white kids in our area would go to a Catholic school or a Lutheran school where there was mostly white kids. And that's what a lot of the private schools were about in those days. Mm. But that's one of the best educations I ever had. It teaches me the value of diversity.
Well, and Gary, and thank you very, very much, Gary. Now, I'd make an argument that the world is changing. And if you really think you can, you know, raise your kid to, you know, never have to interact with minorities, I think you're foolish. The reality is this is a world where your children will be in much more ethnically diverse businesses, economies, communities, and it doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't do you any good to take your child, which is already, we are in a pretty lily white state as it is, and try to find some place where outside of maybe one or two kids in the school, the rest of the school is white. And as a matter of fact, it's one of those things where when my wife and I have our kids involved in activities that we sometimes get a little, you know, if we notice that it's still a predominantly, almost exclusively white situation, that it's kind of one of those things where it's, you know, well, you want the kids to have the diversity. And I think that's just the world that we're going to be in. For God's sakes, it's a beautiful, gorgeous world. Don't be, you know, would you ever turn off your eyes to the colors green, orange, and purple? No, of course not. Then why should you shut down the world that is vibrant and colorful? We should welcome it all in and embrace all that is out there. That's what makes a life worth living. Not, it's white only. God, I can't stand that. Just can't stand that. Back to education. The bill is called the Equity and Opportunity Scholarship Act. It would allow donations to scholarship foundations to be credited against state income taxes. The foundations would use the money to give private school scholarships to low and middle income students. And it is a version of a private school vouchers and tax credits that have been used in other states and to some extent in Minnesota that have often raised constitutional questions, although the bill sponsor thinks that it will pass muster this time. A bigger question will be whether it will pass the muster of the DFL House majority or the state's public school teacher in chief, Tim Walz. Probably not. That's why Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka raised the idea of the proposal potentially being part of a back and forth that has become the end of session ritual in recent years. We'll fight for this one, Gazelka says. And they're not going to fight for education. They're not going to fight for election security. They're not going to fight for, you know, legalized marijuana. They're not going to fight for health care. They're not going to fight for any of these other important issues that are sitting out there that we need to get taken care of. But this, vouchers for private schools. They were going to fight for this. Providing alternatives to traditional schools and enhancing public school accountability are two central tenets of GOP education policy. That's right, punishing schools, public schools, and taking money away from public schools. And that's what you should – and you should say it like that. The Republicans are for taking money away from the public school system and giving it to private individuals, and they're for basically punishing the public school system whenever they can. When was the last time – seriously, I've asked this question for how many years now – when was the last time you heard a Republican praise a public school teacher? Praise, just come on out and just say, I want to make sure, you know, not some political hack that's sitting there saying, I wore my MAGA hat to school today to show support. No, I'm just talking that they came on out and said, by the way, before we get into the day, Miss Mitchell is my kid's science teacher. She does a great job. She's magnificent. My kids love her. She's been with the school district for 15 years. She's a real godsend. Thank you very much, Miss Mitchell. We really appreciate it. When was the last time a Republican did that? I've talked about out in these rural districts where it's mostly conservatives, you know, and the fact that they say, well, we can't get teachers to come work here. Have you tried being nice? Have you tried being nice to the teachers? Because I don't think you've tried being nice to the teachers. You try being nice to people. People want to be around you. That's a little lesson I've learned. Here's how it operates. Individuals and corporations would contribute to scholarship foundations, which would have to register as a 501c3 nonprofit. Donors then could claim the state tax credit of 70% of their private school donations. Jesus. As a credit, the money is deducted from tax owed. The bill caps how much individuals and corporations could give. $30,000 for a married couple filing jointly. $150,000 for a corporation. Now, the one thing I can't quite figure out is that per 501c3 or is that through all 501c3s? Or could this be a way for you basically to get a 70% tax rebate if you're a corporation? You just have to give money to the 501c3 for this private school and the 501c3 for that private school and the 501c3 for that private school. The foundation would take applications from families and make decisions on whether the applicants are eligible based on standards in the bill. That is, families could have incomes twice what they would have for qualify for free or reduced price lunches. For a family of four, that would be up to $93,000 a year. Okay, let me explain something to you, okay? If a family's making $93,000 a year, that's not low income. That's not a low income situation. They're making $100,000 a year, pretty close to $100,000 a year. And by the way, most wealthy couples can finagle, like one of them can file separately and basically get under that threshold pretty easily. So what you're looking at is, once again, another case where Johnny Billionaire, because of tax codes and in filing maneuvering, can get their little silver spoon boy to get a private school education for free. It's a single mom. It's just mom filing this. She's at $80,000. Well, dad's worth $25 million. But it's just mom. See, this is, you know, and once again, taking public school money and giving it to private institutions. Governor Tim Walz, it will not happen. asked about the bill after his transportation pitch in Anoka. I know this is an ideological issue for them. It will not happen. I certainly am not going to move a big chunk of education funding to the private entities, not even going to the parents of those students. The hearing on the bill on Tuesday showed just how far it is from where the DFL constituencies are. Two public school teachers and the State School Boards Association opposed the measure, not because of the details, because of the fundamentals. Before you give a tax break to corporations and rich individuals who donate to schools of their choosing, you should tax them so you can fund all schools, said Melanie Olson, teacher from Buffalo. Damn! That's called an education, and you just got schooled. Don't let them do this crap. I mean, this is Paul Gazelka and the Republicans just taking taxpayer dollars for public school education and giving it to their wealthy buddies. That's all this is. And it will not make education better. If you want to make education better, fund the damn schools, you idiots. Hey, Republicans. Hey, Francis. Hey, you listening to me? Give the schools the money they need. Stop trying to take away from them. All right, Stein, when we do come back, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by Victor's 1959 Cafe. The local Minnesota.com restaurant of the week. Delicious Cuban food. Fantastic option for you. If you're going to be in town, you got friends coming into town for either the Final Four or coming in for any of the other games, stop on by. Great Cuban food at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. It is Victor's 1959 Cafe, the local Minnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. iowawatch.org is his exceptional public service show he runs down in Iowa. He joins us from KXEL Cedar Falls, Waterloo, which is also the home of UNI Panther basketball. And are you actually going to be in town on Friday when the Gophers host UNI in the first round of the NIT tournament?
Well, I don't want to. Isn't there a rule we can't be in the same community? I mean, it hasn't happened for about 12 years. We
no,
can't,
it's called a restraining order. And I'm sorry. No, you don't get to come up with a team, do you?
No, they don't let me out of town, and it's probably with good reason. Yeah. Although I was in Ames and Des Moines yesterday, and you can about guess at least one of the places I was. But no, the Panthers come to see the Gophers, and you'll see a lot of people in purple and gold, a different kind of purple than they might have at the U of M, but should be entertaining.
I will say this. It is great. One of the things I do like about the NIT is that they do try to make these games for both teams somewhat a little bit friendly as far as distance. It is nice you guys are going to be able to have a relatively close game here. Is the UNI team? Were they robbed not getting into the big dance?
No, what happened was they had two debilitating injuries to key players as the season went on, and one of them very late in the season to a player who had come back from injury and then was re-injured. And so it's a situation where they have overcome a lot of adversity. They were third in the conference, and they wind up being the automatic WNIT bid holder because they were third in the conference. There were two teams that went to the big dance. So they weren't robbed. They have had an up-and-down season but have really prevailed very nicely in the face of adversity. And so don't sleep on the Panthers. That's what I'll tell you.
Here's the Gophers. They've got a lot of talent on that team. There have been games where I've been amazed that they have played as well as they have. One of the tricks, though, is Lindsay Whalen, the coach. You know, when you're a superstar player, and she clearly is one of the best women basketball players that's ever played. She's really fantastic. It's something that we've seen. Superstars going into the coaching ranks, the hardest things to sometimes learn how to do is lose. And I think there are times where late in the games have gotten away from them because the adjustments are not getting made. So we'll have to see if she can if this is a tight game, if she can make the adjustments she needs to take that win.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it's easy to do well when things are going well, right? I mean, it's hard to win. It's hard to stay on top. It's hard to learn how to win. These are all, you know, interesting, unique things to sports. But if you can find your path and use things from your past experience, if you can overcome adversity, that's how the special teams come together. And it isn't as easy as it looks. No. And again, you can be just tremendously frustrated if you're someone who has had great success. I mean, look at you, for example. You have had such tremendous success as a broadcaster. And it's so hard for anyone to work with you because how do they possibly measure up to what you're used to and the standards that you have set? It's got to be a burden for you.
And the smell. It's the two things, really. It's a combo platter, you know.
I do recall, and you'll be glad to know that that stench is still available in Ames because nothing has changed there since you left.
Musky. All righty. All my best to your UNI team on Friday, and I hope it's a good game.
I have a feeling it'll be a very good game, and it's a nice short road trip, so bring money into the Twin Cities, Panther fans, right?
Yeah, there you go. We love the coin. So let's we're turning to a very different topic here. The 3 years ago, if you dared to criticize a veteran and you were a Republican, you basically were shouted down justifiably. If you went after a disabled veteran, you were lambasted pretty harshly, as you should be. And if you went after a POW, God have mercy on you, because there's not a Republican in this country 3 years ago that would have tolerated anything like that. And here we are yet once again. It's almost as if Trump is trying to force the Republicans to have to come on out there and say something. Senator Johnny Isaacson came on out today, defended John McCain. The silence, the relative silence you've heard from Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell on this issue, it's been disturbing. And then today, Cindy McCain shared on Twitter an absolutely atrocious troll, you know, attack from a Trump fan on her that basically clearly was inspired by Trump at this point. And to a point where even Rick Santorum went after Trump and said, you can't be doing this stuff anymore. How have we gotten to the point where the Republican Party tolerates this level of distrust and disrespect for someone like John McCain?
I don't think that they tolerate it, but there's not – first of all, there's nothing new in what he has said and what Trump has said, right? I mean, you can now find the video with Dan Rather going back 20 years. He said these same things. Doesn't make them right. I'm just simply saying this is nothing new. He can't help himself for reasons that are unclear. That is something that George Conway can try to help us ascertain. But it's almost as if and this is me playing psychologist, and I can barely talk into a microphone, so let's be careful here. But it's almost like he is saying these things to give Republicans an opportunity to call him out. So that then they, those Republicans who call him out, aren't going to be criticized for being lockstep with Trump on everything. You see how weird that is? But I can sure see him just, you know, going off, because no Republican is going to lose by criticizing the president on things like these. And in his world, he is unbeatable. He is an island unto himself. He can say what he wants. And he's actually giving these other people cover so that then when they do side with him on issues that are actually issues, things he cares about, and by that I mean policy. We should all care about veterans, heaven knows. But then they don't just look like sycophants. I mean, it's a very perverse way to look at it, but there's this very large part of me that thinks, okay, there may be something to that. It's a pretty devious stretch, because what's the alternative? The alternative is that you have someone who's, you know, I mean, all those on the far right talk about those on the left being unhinged. I mean, if you don't use some sort of conspiracy theory like I just advocated or suggested, then the alternative is that the guy's just unhinged. And that probably
okay. – and okay, counterpoint time. This guy's sure. just unhinged. I really do. I think to try to give a guy – who sits in front of platters of fast food hamburgers and thinks that he has done something magnificent, you know, the ability to think further than the dipping sauce, I don't know if that's really applicable. And I think that this is a – he feels as if John McCain, he has to destroy McCain because he was one of those bellwether politicians from the Republican Party, and that if he can get – If he can go on out there and stomp on him, stomp on his legacy, even stomp on the fact that he was a POW and is a veteran, a disabled veteran, if he can stomp on that and the Republicans don't en masse, you know, toss him out of office, he knows this is his party. So I look at it more as a high watermark to determine how far he really can go. And the reality is because no Republican or very few Republicans have the guts to go up to him and say, what the hell are you doing? I mean, and this is not the only time the parents of the Muslim soldier Khan that he went after them. In the Niger, the families that died in Niger, and him going after one of the mother of one of them. I mean, he's incapable of empathy. He's incapable of showing respect. In his mind, I think that he thinks soldiers are dupes that basically just don't have any better option, and so he doesn't have any respect for them. And then on top of it, he hates John McCain. He just hates the fact that that guy was beloved. And so if he can drag him down into the mud and stomp on him and get away with it, then he feels like he's a victor.
And again, I'm not defending, and you were not suggesting I was.
No,
I'm just trying to, in my way, trying to think, all right, what could be motivation here, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, what's the alternative? And you jumped on it and said, no, I think it's the alternative. I don't think you can find any other way on it. He has and again, this is psychological stuff, and I have no license to be trafficking in this, but that's never stopped me before, and it won't now. You can't come up with a logical reason for some of the personal vendettas that he has. And whatever they are, he has them. It's very clear, and he just tears into people. And it is one thing when it is a celebrity feud before he came into office. It is another when he uses cheap shots against people in the public arena who don't agree with him. nicknames and these sorts of things. It's not becoming in any way, but you really cross a line when you take off and tear into someone who's not able to defend himself. Let's start with that.
Yes.
Right? I mean, look at all of these, and you can say what you want about his daughter, but she's defending her daddy, and she always will, right? So there's something there, but it's not the same. It's so unseemly to tear into someone when they are not able to defend themselves. He is no longer of this earth, Senator McCain. He can't defend himself. And then you throw on everything else about disabled war hero, long time POW. I was going to say leader of his party. He wasn't really the leader of his party even when he was the nominee, but you get where I'm going with it. And let's put it this way. Donald Trump should thank John McCain for losing in 2008, because if he had won in 2008, would Trump be president today?
No, he wouldn't. And here's the part, and you understand the Republican Party better than I do.
I'm not sure how I interpret that, but okay.
Well, I think you do understand it, because there are times I just shake my head. The Republicans had done a relatively – just talking about the marketing. I don't agree with this, but they had been able to present themselves as the party that supports the troops. We support the military. We love our veterans. And it was, you know, especially I'd say for 2004 specifically, 2008 even a little bit, it was a difficult issue for Democrats to get around. What all you've got with Trump is, you know, he's taken this – if there is that goodwill, if there is this feeling of the military's the political party is the Republicans – every time he comes on out and does this, it just weakens that marketing campaign they've been successful with. And you would think that the Republicans themselves would say, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't go after – you didn't like John McCain for some of his political stances. That's fine. Criticize those. Do not criticize the man, the veteran. Do not consider – you know, criticize his service at all. And they haven't. And there's almost a – and there is an outright reluctance to go on out there and preserve that element of what the Republicans have worked very hard to try to present to the American people.
And that's why I think you will see more and more Republicans make statements on this. From a Lindsey Graham standpoint, you mentioned he was silent. He has spoken a bit about this before, and my guess is that he is just beside himself and doesn't know what to say. And so he's being a little more measured about it, because if you know anything about Lindsey Graham, you know about his devotion to John McCain as a mentor and now as the one who helps preserve the McCain legacy, even though he may go different direction politically. Okay, so I think Republicans are going to be much freer about making statements that call the president's comments into question, because there will be no political fallout for them, obviously, to distance themselves from the president. And this sort of gets back to the other conspiracy theory. I don't think the president is going to care. You know, if you step out of line, the president is going to remember it. I don't think on something like this he is going to hold a grudge, because this is just, quote, just conversation in his mind. It's not voting against his emergency declaration. Those people are on a list that I'm guessing is on the Oval Office desk, and he's making check marks going down that list. This is in a different category. And again, I'm speaking as from his viewpoint, his perspective about it. I'm not saying it's rational. I'm not saying it's how you and I or any of the listeners would view it. But you're going to see more and more Republicans. And part of this that's interesting, because they're all off this week, right? Spring break. So they're around their districts and such. I think that if they had been in Washington, you might have heard more. And I think there will be dominoes or ripples to go along through the week. Look what happened today. He went out and he's posing with a tank. Dukakis moment, anyone? But he's posing with a tank, and then he tears into McCain, and the crowd cooled very quickly.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear that. And then he turned it around quickly by talking about support for veterans, support for the troops, and then he went on to let's build more tanks at this plant, and then, of course, everybody was back in the fold. But he's enough of a showman to have heard the silence and the boos or the uncomfortableness and sense the uncomfortableness in the room. Very well may not go down that road too much more often, just simply because as the showman, he'll say, well, that line didn't work. Can't use that again.
And he just – I think it shows there's a little bit of – he doesn't understand what he's saying either. And I really do – I do get the impression that if he was at a public event and Cindy McCain was there, he'd actually probably go up and say hi to her if he felt like it would get him, you know, a good image and without even realizing that she wants nothing to do with him at this point. So
forget the image part. He would just go up and not be tone deaf to the whole situation.
Yeah, he would. He would absolutely.
You know, it's not a matter that he would say, well, I better go get my picture taken with her. It's good optics. He'd just go up and say hello.
Yeah.
And again, that's a further disconnect that I think just makes your point stronger.
Jeff Stein joining us. Let's take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Will the veto get overturned? Well, it's a big question in the Senate. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
It's March, there's basketball, but the real madness is putting up with dirty, nasty carpeting. Time to call in your cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get 3 rooms of carpeting cleaned for just $129. Call 952-0-RES. That's 952-0-RES. Or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com. That's ZeroResMinnesota.com. Don't forget to ask for the AM950 special. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Zero Res.
Save an extra 7.5% during Warner Stellion's free tax rebate event. Choose from the best brands at our guaranteed unbeatable price. Then, save 7.5% more with our exclusive tax rebates. You'll save hundreds on laundry pairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, and kitchen suites. And trusted fast free delivery and haul away are still free. Plus, qualified buyers can choose 18 months interest-free financing. Guaranteed unbeatable appliance savings through March 25th with exclusive tax rebates from Warner Stellion.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. Let me tell you about the best parts of buying a vehicle with Rudy Luther. First, their staff is wonderful, friendly, and always ready to help. Another is the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual weekly visit. Is there any chance I've said that, you know, Trump could shoot a Girl Scout in the face on live TV and basically 40 senators would say there's nothing wrong with what I've saw happen there. Is there any way in the world
they shorted him on Thin Mints?
They would. That would probably be their argument. Is there any way in the world the veto gets overturned in the Senate?
No. I just don't think so. Because the Republicans who want to have it both ways are able to. There's a certain number of them are able to say we voted against it, but I don't know that there are any who are going to then go the next step. Because if you think about it, it's a little disingenuous to say I voted to not support the measure, but I will support overriding his veto when the veto was in concert with my vote against the measure, right? I mean, there's just no way to flip someone in that way. So it's not going to happen. Veto will not be overridden. It'll be the first one, and you know, so be it. There are many other ways to fight the specifics of it, of the policy, and that's obviously what Congress is going to do. Not only with regard to what's left of this fiscal year, but for the next budget year as well.
Well, and I will say this. Mm-hmm. I think that when it comes down to it, I think there are a lot of people that are going to look at that at what this declaring a national emergency to basically get something done that you can't get done through Congress. Mm-hmm. And that this is a Pandora's box. And, you know, you and I have talked about this with other issues before. It's going to be incredibly difficult for the Republicans to basically put these worms back in the can. They're not going to be able to do it. And I know, I guarantee you, towards the end, if it looks like Trump's going to be out of office in 2020, they're going to be, we need to put a new bill in place saying national disasters can only be, national emergencies can only be for national disasters and stuff like that. But the reality is that if they allow this to go through and they say, well, the border wall was fine, but nothing else, that's not going to fly.
It's going to – well, I was going to say it's going to be duplicitous, but, you know, the voters will see that. I mean, it is going to be what it is, and voters ultimately will decide. I mean, it's one of these arguments that if you're very short-sighted, you look at this is what we need to do today as opposed to what is the lasting impact of our action. And I suppose the twist on that is to say, well, we got to get from today in order to get to tomorrow. So we got to do today what we got to do today. And then, you know, tomorrow's another day. Well, you've got to think a little more. You got to be a little broader in your thinking, especially as you're talking about governing. Because, again, as we have discussed, and it is I mean, yes, we used to have duels, political duels in history. So I don't want to say this, it's never been this bad. But let's face it, the split, Matt, between politics and governing, if it has ever been more distinct, separate, strident, I can't at the top of my head, off the top of my head, come up with an example. So you have people who are just hyper-focused on politics and governing just falls by the wayside.
Do you feel as if there's any part of this? I mean, there was a woman that was at a Steve Bannon rally that basically said she wanted a dictator. She wanted someone who was just basically going to tell Congress what they were going to do. The Republicans they don't like the system that's in place, and they are far more entitled to, I think, want to have someone who is this quote unquote strong leader that just does what they want to do. Do you think that this is, you know, once again, just a push there, that the reason why a lot of Republicans are tolerating this is that at the end of the day, they don't care as long as their guys in the White House and the stuff they want to get done gets done?
Certainly the stuff they want to get done gets done, much better chance with one of theirs in the White House. And they're in a situation now where even those who don't like it, what are they going to do? Are they going to oppose the sitting president who's already co-opted the RNC? The RNC has already endorsed him for re-election.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them, and I hate to play into this, but I think it's warranted. There are a lot of them who are just sitting back saying, let's just see the Mueller report.
Yeah.
I'll decide then, because if in fact, because you're talking about tipping points. We've talked for 2 years about tipping points here. If that report shows certain things, you may see a very different level of support by those elected officials. The absence of that, who knows?
We'll have to end it there. Yep. Hey, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. All my best to you and I once again on Friday. We'll go Gophers, though. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books at Common Good Books, and we'll talk to you next week. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, see ya.